Here at a moment of testing for Europe and the United States, and for the international order that we have worked for generations to build.
Never before has a new world order had to be assembled from so many different perceptions, or on so global a scale. Nor has any previous order had to combine the attributes of the historic balance of power system with global democratic opinion and the exploding technology of the contemporary period.
This is the world you are graduating into. This is what I want to talk about today with you for a few minutes. I believe we, and particularly you, your class, has an incredible window of opportunity to lead in shaping a new world order for the 21st century in a way consistent with American interest and the common interest.
These troubled times, our fifth objective, a new world order can emerge, a new era, freer from the threat of terror, stronger in the pursuit of justice, and more secure in the quest for peace. An era in which the nations of the world, East and West, North and South, can prosper and live in harmony. 100 generations have searched for this elusive path to peace, while 1,000 wars raged across the span of human endeavor. And today that new world is struggling to be born. A world quite different from the one we've known. A world where the rule of law supplants the rule of the jungle. A world in which nations recognize the shared responsibility for freedom and justice.
I think a new world order is emerging, and with it the foundations of a new and progressive era of international cooperation. We have resolved that from today we will together manage the process of globalization to secure responsibility from all and fairness to all.
Also exists an extraordinary opportunity to form for the first time in history a truly global society.
I've been a member of this committee for many years, and I have never seen anything as disgraceful and outrageous and despicable as the last demonstration that just took place about, you know, you're going to have to shut up or I'm going to have you arrested.
The ideology of the unification of mankind under one religious, economic, and political umbrella has existed since the days of Babylon, when Nimrod built an epicenter of civilization reaching for the sky. United States politicians have demonstrated an almost fanatical zeal in a race against the clock to institute policies asserting US superiority. Nations such as China and Russia are forming re-evaluated alliances and are challenging US hegemony. There is also a religious aspect as well. Behind the scenes, Roman Catholicism has allied itself with the United States and the European elite to ensure Roman Catholicism, with its 1.2 billion members, is the head, not the tail, of the New World Order. Islam is the rival, with almost 1.6 billion members, and fundamentalist sects like the Shiites not willing to be part of any world order.
What for?
Well, the purpose is what the Roman Catholic system has all the time as our own purpose, is to infiltrate, to penetrate all the areas of life where the Roman Catholic can have control and access for the coming world government. What that means is, in preparation for that world government, the Roman Catholic institution, especially since the establishment of the Jesuit order in 1541, throughout all these 500 years, they've been in preparation, in and through infiltration and penetration of every level of society in order to take over the world politically and religiously.
These U.S. politicians are heavily influenced by the military-industrial complex, as well as organizations such as the Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderberg Group. But the rabbit hole goes deeper than that. U.S. presidents are well aware of the inherent danger of being assassinated by an unseen power if they choose to go against the grain of a well-hidden secret organization, hell-bent on absolute control. Whom is this hidden power lurking in the shadows? On November the 22nd, at midday, Lee Harvey Oswald, according to four U.S. government investigations, shot John F. Kennedy in Dallas, Texas. The assassination of JFK has been enshrouded in mystery ever since the bizarre chain of events that occurred before, during, and after the execution of one of the most loved presidents in the history of the United States of America. Let's expose who was behind this action and investigate the motives of a power working covertly to undermine not only the U.S. government, but other nations as well.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed.
There were multiple reasons why JFK was assassinated. The Vietnam War, the dismantling of the Federal Reserve, threatening to smash the CIA into 1,000 pieces, and JFK's speech on the separation of church and state, which displeased the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church. President Kennedy wanted to withdraw from Vietnam, and he, as president, began to de-escalate American involvement in Southeast Asia, but the superpower group was plotting his murder. Who was the superpower group that has avoided publicity after a myriad of deception all these years? Writer and philosopher Avro Manhattan had this to say: "The political and military origin of the War of Vietnam has been described with millions of written and spoken words, yet nothing has been said about one of the most significant forces which contributed to its promotion, namely the role played by religion, which in this case means the part played by the Catholic Church and a diplomatic counterpart, the Vatican. Their active participation is not mere speculation. It is an historical fact as concrete as the presence of the US or the massive guerrilla resistance of Asian communism. The activities of the last two have been scrutinized by thousands of books, but the former has never been assessed, not even in the summarized form. The Catholic Church must be considered as their main promoter in the origin, escalation, and prosecution of the Vietnamese conflict. From the very beginning, this religious motivation helped set in motion the avalanche that was to cause endless agonies in the Asiatic and the American continent. The military arm of the Vatican, the Jesuits, who controlled politicians in Washington, wanted to continue the war in Vietnam, set up a Catholic power in Southeast Asia, and maintain their control of the international drug market that the Jesuits had held for over 400 years in the Far East. When President Kennedy stood in their way, he had to be removed. The Jesuits had John F. Kennedy assassinated. The day after Kennedy was killed, the decision to stop America's involvement in Vietnam was reversed, and the Vatican program continued. President Diem of Vietnam was a practicing Catholic who ruled South Vietnam with an iron fist. He was a genuine believer of the evils of communism and the uniqueness of the Catholic.
In 2005, an arrangement between Canada, Mexico, and the United States was made. This arrangement, unannounced to the public, unregulated by Congress, merges the United States, Mexico, and Canada into one entity, erasing all borders. It's called the North American Union, and you might want to ask yourself why you've never heard of this. In fact, there is only one mainstream reporter who has actually heard of and has had the courage to cover this issue.
The Bush administration's open borders policy and its decision to ignore the enforcement of this country's immigration laws is part of a broader agenda. President Bush signed a formal agreement that will end the United States as we know it, and he took the step without approval from either the U.S. Congress or the people of the United States.
It's a deal that few have even heard of.
It's being done again by very few people at the very top on behalf of the investment class, but the working class of people, political officials across our country from communities, from cities and so forth, they don't know anything about this.
This isn't some trade agreement. It is a total removal of sovereignty from these countries, which will also result in a completely new currency called the Amero.
Apart from that, I think one thing people who are dollar-based need to focus on is the Amero. That's the one thing that nobody's talking about, but I think it's going to have a big impact on everybody's life in Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. The Amero is the proposed new currency for the North American community, which is being developed right now between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico to make a borderless community much like the EU, and the dollar, Canadian dollar, U.S. dollar, and the Mexican peso replaced by the Amero.
By default of this agreement, the American Constitution will eventually be obsolete. You would think that a situation like this would be on the cover of every major newspaper. That is until you realize the people who are behind this movement are the same people behind the mainstream media, and you are not told what you're not supposed to know. The North American Union is the same concept as the European Union, the African Union, and the soon-to-be Asian Union, and the same people are behind all of them. And when the time is right, the North American Union, the European Union, the African Union, and the Asian Union will be merged together, forming the final stages of a plan these men have been working on for over 60 years. A one world government. one bank, one army, one center of power. And if we have learned anything from history, it is that power corrupts.